Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the right to be ruled by God. And people often think that being ruled has to do with totalitarian leaders who rule over you at the point of a sword or a gun. And certainly, that is not freedom. That is in bondage when you're ruled by other men who rule over you. But there's all kinds of bondage. And we can be bondage to fear, and bondage to anxiety, and bondage to depression, and bondage to sin, and bondage to all sorts of things. And Christ sets you free from all those things if you really understand and know Christ enough so, and are repentant enough so, to let Christ in. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. That's what is written in Galatians 4:11. We are neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So evidently, Paul wasn't quite the chauvinist that people think he is, and they don't understand him. They're always loving to take Paul out of the context of Paul. But whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. And that spirit will set you free, even if you're in bonds now. And if those bonds are drugs, it can set you free from that. And it can set you free in an instant. But even when you are set free, there is a process to go on. One of our brothers here working at the church, he was into all sorts of drugs at one time, into violence, into gangs, and all these things. And he had an experience that brought him out of that pretty much in an instant. It opened his eyes and changed him. But still, that change is an ongoing change because we carry the scars. We may have set down a great deal of the baggage, but we carry the scars. And so we have to learn what it is to, it really means to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And we often talk about the bondage of the world and the bondage of the world system and, being subject to the mark of the beast and all these things. And really the difference between the mark of the beast and the mark of God, because there is a mark of God also. The mark of God is the tav, which means faith. And it is, do we live by faith or do we live by force? And do we want to force our neighbors to contribute to our welfare? That's a form of bondage that we are brought into because we are trapped in the very net of our own making. But there are other types of bondage where we go to the wrong people who are not, I'm just amazed. Why are people so easily seduced by these wrong people? It's because their eyes are not yet fully open, and they can be again entangled in this bondage of the world very easily, very quickly. And we need to take another look at a lot of different things. And what we've been taking a look in the last show is drugs. These mind-altering drugs that we're putting our children on, Ritalin and Prozac. I've known several people that went on Ritalin. And I promised you that I would tell a story in the show about someone I knew who went on Ritalin. I worked with this individual, young boy, knew his parents, and he was failing in school. He went to a public school, and he was failing in school. Now, they knew we all home-taught. But they didn't think they could do that because of an idea that had been placed in their minds, and they didn't think they could do it. So they sent him to public school, and in the public school he was failing, and they couldn't figure out why, and they said, well, he can't concentrate, and he's hyperactive, and he's looking. Now, he's not running around the classroom and everything, but he couldn't focus on the teachers. and what they were saying and on his schoolwork, and so he was failing. And so somebody suggested Ritalin, and they said that he has an attention disorder, can't pay attention in class. So they were going to put him on Ritalin. Well, they didn't want to do that, so they started homeschooling him with the school's cooperation. So he's still doing the same courses. He could even take tests there, but he was studying at home. He went from a failing grade to an A grade. He was now getting A's and B's in the same courses in the same school, but he was just learning the material at home. I worked with the kid on the weekends and doing work, you know, actually for his family. And I would be telling him stories about, Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar, and how Augustus Caesar adopted Tiberius, and Tiberius became Caesar, and Tiberius's granddaughter was Pontius Pilate's wife, who also became a Christian, and telling him all these different people, and then on to Caligula and Claudius, and we were doing this while we were working and pouring cement and mixing gravel and everything. And so it was kind of an ongoing conversation for the whole day. Well, I only worked at their place on the weekends because they wanted to be there to help. That was the only time they could be there. And it came back the next weekend, and he says, well, tell me more about, the emperors and stuff. And I said, well, where were we? And he runs off in about 2 minutes, and a complete outline of everything we had talked about the week before. He just completely memorized it. Absolutely bright individual. No problem whatsoever in understanding and consuming and relating facts back and putting them together in real ideas, but failing in school. And then this whole episode about, he needed to take Ritalin, and they didn't want to do that, so they brought him home, home taught him. He was getting A's at home. But they wanted him to come back to school and kept encouraging, the drug is okay, it's safe, it's used all the time. And so they said, well, we'll try it. So they put him on Ritalin, and they sent him back to school. He didn't get A's anymore. He didn't get F's anymore. He got C's. He got a C average on Ritalin. And everything seemed to be fine, and a story related to me once, he says, actually his father was relating the story. He says, when he couldn't concentrate, he couldn't pay attention to the teacher, and he says, did somebody get up to go sharpen their pencil? When I was in school, you didn't get up and go sharpen your pencil. You better have it sharpened before you sit down. Nobody got out of their chair and walked around, but evidently in the modern schools, that's not the case. Of course, I went to private schools. But anyway, somebody get up and walk around. He says, I couldn't even hear the teacher anymore. I would see them, or a car would drive by outside. I'd have to see that. I'd stand up to look, and I'd forget all about the teacher, and I just couldn't concentrate. But when I took the pill, I didn't even notice the guy got up out of his seat and went and sharpened the pencil. Now, to me, that's scary. He didn't even notice what was going on around him. He could now concentrate on the teacher, because he didn't notice what was going on around him. He didn't see everything. I've got grandkids who have attention deficit disorder, and they're the brightest sons, not all of them, but one of them at least. We always tease him because of it, and he likes it. The line where you say squirrel, and then you look over to the right, because he's always being distracted. And we say that when he's being distracted to bring his attention back. He smiles and then he listens again for a little bit. But he's very easily distracted. But he also is picking up stuff all the time and seeing stuff all the time and memorizing stuff. They have a remarkable memory. They've never drank fluoride. They've never had vaccinations. And they're extremely bright, small ages, reading, writing, arithmetic, all the time. And second generation homeschoolers. But anyway, back to the cinema. So they just opted out. You figure, oh, so then they would go back to homeschooling because that's where he was getting the A's. No, they decided to keep him on Ritalin. Well, the plot thickens. I heard a few months, or quite a few months later, halfway through the school year, this would be the second year, and he had to be rushed to the hospital because he collapsed into almost in a coma. He couldn't move. He lost control of his bladder, and he couldn't move. He was paralyzed. But just for a brief time, the first time it happened to him, he just fell down outside, walking between a shed, weightlifting shed, and the house, fell down and collapsed. And he says it was very scary. He couldn't get up. He was still conscious, but he could not get up. He couldn't move or anything. And finally, he got better, and he got up, and he went in and related this. But it happened again and had to be rushed to the hospital. But it didn't happen all at once. It usually happened during vacations, like Christmas vacation or summer vacation. Why did it happen? What was doing it? They did all kinds of neurological tests, and doing all these things, trying to figure out what it is that's causing these collapses. And I knew what it was. I said, it's withdrawal. That's what was happening. During withdrawal, he would collapse. And he says, no. He said, it only happens, actually, I said it was the drug at first, meaning that it was withdrawal, because I knew it was only happening on vacations. But they didn't make the connection as quickly as I did. And so they said, no, it only happens when he stops taking the drug. And so they think because he stops taking the drug, he collapses because he needs the drug. No. And then that's when I said, no, it's withdrawal. It's withdrawal that is causing this collapse of his nervous system so that he goes into the state of, you know, where he can't move. It's, you know, he just can't even stand. He can't do anything. Can't control his muscles. And it was the withdrawal of this drug. And nobody was making that connection, but it would only happen when he stopped taking the drug. They did make that connection, but they didn't understand. And this is what happens, is that once you're on this drug and you start going off the drug, like Prozac, 2 to 3 days later, usually about 3 days later, you start having this fit of depression. You think, oh my gosh, it's horrible, and maybe suicidal, and crying, and all kinds of things. I know people have done this time and time again. And they think, oh, I do need the drug. Well, of course you need the drug. You're going through withdrawal. And that's what you're experiencing. You don't need the drug if you actually come clean. I don't know about individuals. I'm just speaking in general. I know there are many people that got off the drug and never needed it again. Years and years go by, never had any kind of episode again once they were clean. But the pharmaceutical companies, most doctors aren't going to tell you that because there's any money in that. And it's an unconscious conspiracy. I mean, within the pharmaceutical companies, they know. There are people who know and understand this. But it's an unconscious conspiracy because the vanity locks the doctors in. They don't want to believe that they're actually destroying their patients by prescribing these drugs. And so they want to believe that this is really good. And even the parents would not see this. Pointing it out to them, yes, it's withdrawal. It's exactly timed withdrawal that he has these attacks and seizures. And it was just so obvious, but not to them, because of this collective unconsciousness, because nobody wants to admit that I've been poisoning my child, because I didn't want to make the sacrifice of teaching them at home. These are good people. And that was just too much for them to accept, too much for them to log away into their mind. We need the humility to realize that that is exactly what we are doing. Russell Barclay, who is a PhD, and he actually is on the website, Quack Watch, I think it is. He talks about Bragan. He says Bragan considers children with ADHD and other behavioral problems actually to be among our most creative, sensitive, energetic, and intelligent. So he, there's a typo in his report, the use of medication. I don't know what it's supposed to say there, but he has something misspelled in his Quack Watch. Medication for their management to be worthy of public concern or scorn. His assessment of ADHD children, however, ignores more than 30 years of longitudinal research. Longitudinal research, what is that? ADHD, including my own ongoing 20-year follow-up study demonstrating the substantial and pervasive development risks of ADHD and its related disorders of optional and conduct disorders convey to a child. What did he all say there with his longitudinal research and his 20 years of follow-up study? He's saying that children that don't get drugs often have continued problems. He's not saying that children who get Bragan's treatment, who get the support, who are, receive the true love and compassion and assistance and love that they need have problems. He's just saying that children who are already traumatized in a home, neglected in a home, who don't get the drug, there's a follow-up of difficulty, and that some that get the drug are better. Most children who have moments of depression in their life and difficulties in, I grew up with kids with ADHD where there was no drug. They survived. They overcame it. They continued and adjusted without the drug, and they didn't go to jail and they didn't go to prison and they got better. The number of people on drugs today, it's really, if you actually follow it up, it's terrible. It's horrible what's going on. And I'll try to get through in this hour some of these other things. I could go on and quote all his numbers and everything, but there's another doctor who wrote on this Quack Watch, and I'm picking from that not because I advocate Quack Watch. I think that the quacks are writing on Quack Watch on a regular basis, but the quacks are outnumbering sanity people, which is why I'm saying that there's this huge army of people that are absolutely crazy and don't understand what is really good for you. And of course, if they heard me, they would lock me up. But the one of the first quotes I have in the book is that, what strange times are these, that when someone begins to speak the truth, they are immediately called a lunatic and a fool. That's kind of a loose translation of the Greek, but that's something that is 2,000 years old. This is an ongoing thing that the power elite, anybody who questions what they're doing as being righteous or good, must be crazy because they live and wallow in vanity. He quotes, this other doctor quotes Bragan and says, many children diagnosed with ADHD and treated with stimulants have relatively benign problems. Often they simply daydream in a classroom or dislike school a little or more often than other children, or they may be a little bit more active and energetic than most. And he goes on to the counter comment from the doctor, although misdiagnosis obviously can occur, Bragan presents no data showing that this is a major problem or that it is likely to happen when skilled professionals conduct the evaluations. I can guarantee you, it happens daily in massive ways everywhere I've been in contact in public education, everywhere I've seen it in my community. I just gave you the example of a fellow who is absolutely normal. He just needed a enthusiastic, energetic, imaginative teacher. He did not get them at his school. He could have, when I was in private school, the teachers would look you in the eye. If your eyes wandered out of the room, they would see the whole room and they would draw your attention back. Look here. You paid attention. And I had all kinds of different teachers. I don't know if you remember all your teachers, but I had teachers that you could hear a pin drop in that school. Never raised their voice. Drew your attention. Taught you the subject. Then I had other teachers that had no control in their classroom. People were making noise, but it was nothing like what I've seen today. I've been in these classrooms, been working in those schools, and it's horrible what's going on. Not even counting the subject matter, not even counting the social structure in the schools. You should get your kids out of those schools. That is a cure in itself, I guarantee you. But anyway, misdiagnosis, overabuse of this drug is rampant, rampant. He says, given no data. He hasn't denied the allegation. He just said that he didn't give data. Well, there is data out there that there is misdiagnosis. The AMA will admit, operations going on in the medical society, unnecessary operations is rampant. You think unnecessary pills being prescribed is not rampant? They're taking out people's organs unnecessarily. They're doing open heart surgery unnecessarily. AMA admits this. You think prescribing a few pills is not going on unnecessarily? And these pills are powerful drugs that have tremendous side effects. I've been talking here for a couple hours. this is not the only show we do. Some children with ADHD, and this is Bragan again, being quoted by this quack doctor, Quack Watch. You can go there and read all the quacks. Some children with ADHD are very angry, out of control, and difficult to be around when children have these more serious behavioral or emotional problems. Stimulant medication is likely to worsen their mental condition and behavior. I actually have relatives that had this problem. And not without cause. I mean, they had difficulties growing up. And, from birth, trauma at birth. They were diagnosed they would never walk, they would never see. They actually functioned remarkably well. Remarkably well with all the difficulties that they had to face. And they're really good people. And the medication actually, I believe, contributed to making it worse, making it more difficult. They needed... they had pretty good support, but they really needed more support. And the fact is, it's kind of like us homeschooling our children. When we first started, we didn't do a bad job, but we really weren't as good at it as we could have been. But we were pioneers. We were starting out trying to figure out, how do you do this? We'd come from generations that sent their kids off to school, at least two generations anyway. I mean, you go back to the 1900s and most kids weren't educated in public schools. The point is, I agree with that because I have seen it time and time again. But this quack doctor who says that Brigham's is a quack says, this advice extraordinarily irresponsible. Advice? He didn't give advice. He said it often worsens. That's not advice. He's just saying he's making... a statement. The fact that stimulant medication can calm many hyperactive children has been known for more than 60 years and has been demonstrated by many well-designed clinical studies. What did he just say? Sound like he made a viable argument against what the other guy said? No, he hasn't. He hasn't even addressed it. He says that these medications can calm many hyperactive children. It can. A fifth of whiskey could calm them too. A baseball bat could calm them. I've seen a paddle calm a kid. Couldn't sit still, kept jumping around, talking and everything, and they got a swat by a paddle. Or in my parochial school days, as younger, they the priests had a belt and they would take off a belt. Now, I'm not advocating that, because I think that if you have to go to corporal punishment, you've already missed the game. Like I said, one of the best teachers I ever had, you could hear a pin drop in that classroom, and he never even raised his voice. These are arts and skills on raising children, and we're not very good at it. And we've gotten worse at it because we're not practicing it, because we've sent our kids off to school. Get them home and start learning what it means to be a parent. Gather together in congregations and talk about this. This is more important than the ball scores. Yes, drugs can reduce hyperactivity, but that does not solve the problem. That deals with the symptom. It makes the teacher's life more comfortable. They don't have to work at their job. But it does not deal with the underlying issue. And this is what Bragan is talking about. This quack guy goes on to say, Bragan has published no clinical studies and provides no data to back his claim. Get out there in the world. You can see it every day. Again, he goes back, and actually there is data. He's just saying that there isn't any data. There's all kinds of data. Just like I said, the AMA is admitting antibiotics are overprescribed and are causing a serious problem of immunity amongst diseases that normally were able to be treated by the same antibiotics. Same thing going on in the drug doctors. He goes on at page 3, he says that Bragan said, even the most difficult and out of control children can be helped by informed adult intervention without resort to drugs. Now, he didn't say they would be cured. He said they could be helped without the resort to drugs. This other doctor goes on. On pages 161 and 174, Bragan supports this statement with passages about a nurse he met during a train ride and two experienced teachers who told him how they dealt with children that were considered hyperactive. He's not using that as proof. He's using that as an example. It's somehow or other that the nurses he met at a train ride makes it some sort of haphazard. This guy was educated in Harvard. He's been a doctor for years. He's over 70 years old. Go watch him on YouTube. You tell me whether he knows what he's talking about or not. And I don't think that everything he says is accurate, but I think that you need to have a good knowledge before you put your kids on drugs, before you allow your relatives to go on drugs. You need to encourage people to see the alternatives. We're going to take a break here in a little bit, but I'll go on and read some more of these quack doctors claiming that Bragan's is a quack, so that you can kind of see both sides, because it's very interesting how they operate and how they deal with these situations of arguing their side. He's not really addressing the issue that he needs to address in a way that is practical. Anyway, we're going to take that break here in a minute, but again, you can look up Bragan, B-R-E-G-G-I-N, Bragan.com, and you can Google him. You'll find all kinds of information, pro and con. Get educated. Start finding out. And we'll talk more about this when we return to Keys to the Kingdom. And we'll try to give you some more revelations and understanding of this drug issue and how far reaching it is.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia. And I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbor as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I want to go through a couple more of these critiques on this quack watch concerning Bragan, so you get the perspective of what the problem really is in the mindset of psychiatry today. And this can actually telegraph over into your politics and all the other elemental aspects of your society. because these all have an effect on you. And remember now, when I talk about these doctors who are making these conclusions and show the fallacious mindsets that they present that allows them to continue to drug children by the millions. I mean, years and years ago, when Ritalin first came out, there was literally one statistic that a dump truck load of these Ritalin pills were leaving the factory every day, the equivalent of a dump truck load of these pills. And these are going out and going into children. And I've just seen hundreds and hundreds of cases of children that have been extremely messed up. Same kids that I could have grown up with. Because I grew up with kids with nobody on Ritalin because it didn't exist. And they got through it. And, you know, I know kids that were on my block who ended up in prison. But that really had more to do with the fact that his dad beat him every day. That his dad beat him in the morning because he knew he was going to do something wrong. That his dad would stand there and wash his mouth out with soap for cussing, while he himself was saying swear words and cussing his own son out. And so that had more to do with it. There are lots of bad parents in this world. There are not lots of neglectful parents in this world. There are lots of parents that are self-absorbed in this world. There are lots of parents that are just not as good at being parents as they should be. And farming your children out to public school or drugging them is not the solution. It is the anti-solution. It is anti-Christ. It is anti-God. It is anti-life. And everything you can do to turn around from that. And you're going to need help. And you're going to need a supportive society. That's why I want you to go to hisholychurch.org and join the Living Network and form congregations of record so that you can be there for one another. Why? Because that is the character of Christ. And when you start trying to live the character that Christ, you will start understanding how un-Christ-like you really have become. And it is a great opportunity for you to come face to face and repent and let Christ grow in you. Anyway, we were talking about Bragan's statement that he says even the most difficult and out of control children can be helped by informed adults' intervention without resort to drugs. So you need to become an informed adult so that you can inform other adults. Even if you don't have kids, you need to learn about this so you can share the information in a loving way with other people. But this other doctor was saying, Bragan support this statement, and he tries to actually play it down because it was some nurses that he met on a train, as if that has any bearing on it. He was using that as an example in a book. The guy has credentials. The guy has been at this for half a century. The guy knows what he's talking about. And this doctor's not addressing that. He's trying to infer that there's some sort of problem. He says the technique they described are standard ones that would work with mildly disturbed children and might help, but would not be sufficient to control truly hyperactive children. So he's even saying that there are methods. This is what the doctor opposing Bragan is saying. There are methods that would work with the mildly hyperactive children. Mildly hyperactive children or temporarily hyperactive children have gone on these drugs and been changed drastically. Drug addicted at small ages, because of the over prescription of these drugs. Way over. Extremely over, in my opinion. But anyway, so he says that these children, that it would work for mildly. But he says it wouldn't work for hyperactive, but it does. It does for truly hyperactive children. These methods can work, have worked. And I've dealt with them. I've had hyperactive children that we've taken care of in this house. I mean, seriously hyperactive. And why seriously? Is because their own parents didn't know how to deal with them. They weren't educated in how to deal with them. They didn't know. Maybe if they took the time and were in real congregations for a while and began to look at their own problems and their own issues that they could have dealt with them. And we're talking severely hyperactive children. And they, when they stayed in our house, we made a difference. We made a difference in their life, still to this day, that they can remember our discipline that we brought to them, loving discipline, structure. Unfortunately, they went back to their other house and they didn't have that structure anymore. But they got to see it for a while, and that alone can make a huge amount of difference. So you need to become that standard of difference in the lives of your own community. So anyway, this guy goes on to say, Bragan assumes that the descriptions were accurate. Doesn't matter. Bragan has seen this. He's been at this for half a century. He's been in the business. He has done this and done this. He was using those as an example, not because that was the only place he ever heard of it. So he's not assuming anything. So that's a misstatement by this doctor. And he says, concludes that the techniques would work for all hyperactive children. He didn't say that they would. He said they would help in the cases of all hyperactive children. He didn't say it was the only thing that you could do. But the fact is, he offers lots of other methods, which you can find on his website and in his books, and treats the anecdotal evidence as more important than well-designed studies in which children have been formally diagnosed and their behavior carefully monitored. No, it isn't. He has been doing this since he was a young doctor, since he graduated from Harvard and went on and became a psychiatrist, getting his degree, and has great credentials. And some even try to say that his credentials are overblown. They are exactly what they are. They're not incorrect. They are there. And he's not the only doctor that is beginning to realize this. But because they're in the minority, so other doctors who are making a fortune, I know of someone, I believe he's a psychiatrist, not just a psychologist, who gave $100,000 to a political campaign of a known socialist, thinking that this would be good. But I could find you other psychiatrists who would be doing the same thing for other candidates that would be opposing. Because you're a psychiatrist doesn't mean you're going to make good decisions, that you're going to have right values, that you're going to understand the long-term repercussions. One of the worst things in the world is to be drugged by your diplomas. You have a degree of knowledge, so you think you know. This is what Christ was dealing with. Because you say you already know, your sin remains. You're not learning anything new. You form a facade around you that you can't accept any new ideas or look at things really objectively, because you've already made a commitment down this line, and the thought that you are in error, that you have made egregious mistake, is too much for you. And you will send men to be condemned. You will drug children to keep up the facade that what you're doing is a good thing. And it's not. I see it's not, but I don't have the credentials. But here's a doctor who does have the credentials, and he says, yeah, it's not a good thing. He does have the experience. He does have the background, and he's getting the support of more doctors, but he's not going to get the support of the majority, because they have sold out. They have sold out their own conscience because of pride. They will not admit that they are making a mistake, even though the evidence is mounting daily that they are. Even AMA records are coming out talking about overprescription. In 1997, a study published in the Pediatrics confirms high rates of stimulants-induced depression in 125 children who were given relatively small doses of Ritalin and dextrodrin. Two children on the Ritalin and two on the dextrodrin developed severe enough adverse effects to be terminated from the study. One 8-year-old became overfocused, extra sensitive, increasingly anxious. 5-year-old became extremely aggressive and fearful. Side effects from the dextrodrin were higher than those from Ritalin for trouble sleeping, irritability, prone to crying, anxious, sadness, unhappiness, and nightmares. Now, this other doctor criticizing Bregan goes on and says that, oh, you know, there's only 3% were dropout rates, but others were experiencing these things. You know, of the 125 children, there was a high rate of stimulant-induced depression. In other words, the side effects were actually causing depression and problems and anxiety. In children like 5 years old, I mean, this is like out of the Holocaust. They're experimenting on these children with these drugs because they want to prove that these drugs, who's conducting the study? They want to prove that these drugs are good. These are small doses of Ritalin. I don't know how many times I've seen people up the dose of Ritalin, up the dose of Ritalin, because it only lasts for a few weeks or a month or so, and then you need to up the dose because the body is compensating. But this guy goes on and he goes through all this rigmarole and both drugs were well tolerated by most subjects, well tolerated. They say they were well tolerated. There was side effects, but he said they were tolerable. You know, minimal losses, minimal damage, minimal. And all this is based on what? A 2-week study. That's it. A 2-week study. From Bregan's point of view, the 2-week study made his point. This guy thinks that the 2-week study is somehow some good study. It's 2 weeks. You're talking about mind-altering drugs for 5-year-olds that induce clear side effects and problems. We don't know if those side effects were because that particular individual or that particular time of that individual. Will they show up in others in the 3rd week, in the 4th week, in the 5th week? Will they create a dependency on the drug, an addiction? We know that they're addictive. We know there are dangers to withdrawal. And you're giving them to small children by the truckload. And you think this is not going to have an effect. Not regarding, you know, all the other chemicals that people are consuming in their foods. You need to form congregations. You need to start finding cleaner sources of your food. Safeway is not the safe way. Buying in your grocery stores is not the safe way. And I understand that you have to buy in grocery stores, but you could be working in congregations and forming CSAs and working with a network of people. There are trucks leaving daily from places I know of, leaving with pretty clean foods that people are going to a great deal of effort to do. And sometimes they're more expensive. Don't believe all the organic stuff that you buy is really organic. You need to have blessed food. You need to have a whole network of sources of food outside of the mainstream, because the mainstream is extremely confused. They're given over to another spirit, a destructive spirit, and they're coming up with solutions that are destroying you. Your GMOs and your chemicals and your Dexedrine and your Ritalin and your Prozac and your Luxol. These are just tips of the iceberg. Bregan goes on to say, pronouncements made in public by professional advocates for stimulant paint a glowing picture about the effectiveness of these drugs. But professional reviews, he goes on, and he explains this in more detail in his numerous books. Professional reviews and textbooks often present a more conservative picture, one that hardly justifies exposing children to such great dangers. A review in the American Psychiatric Press textbook of psychiatry included, stimulants do not produce lasting improvement in aggressivity, conduct disorder, criminality, education, achievement, job functioning, marital relationships, and long-term adjustments. They do not produce lasting improvements. They're drugs. What they do produce is lasting addiction to the drug, unless you break. And when you try to come off these drugs, you're going to need help. You may need medical help. You need to be monitored, but you need to have a family and a congregation that can help monitor that. A support group. You're coming. It's just like, you know, AA. You're coming. Just because it was legal drugs doesn't mean it's not a drug. It is a drug. And it's an addictive drug. And it has side effects. And you will need help and you'll need support. And you need the kind of loving, true loving, nurturing support that will help you in real. Not just a remote teacher who happens to have a little bit more savvy, but a whole community of people. And the reason why the community needs to get involved is the same reason Christ came, because he came by his nature to serve. And you need to be serving one another. So you, even though you're not going to be on the drugs, you're not going to put your children on the drugs, you need to learn about this. You need to educate yourself. You need to understand this, because understanding what that true love is that makes a difference will make a difference in your life and lots of other places where you have addictions. Addiction to politics, addiction to fear, addiction to worrying about the New World Order. You know, that's an addiction too. You know, you want to get together with other buddies and talk about this stuff. Addiction to sports, addiction to whatever it is that you're addicted to. Are you walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit day by day? Is your contentment, addiction to music, addiction to food, you know, all these different things you need to take a look at. He goes on, Bregan goes on to say, some children with ADHD are very angry, out of control, and difficult to be around. When children have these more serious behavioral or emotional problems, stimulant medication is likely to worsen the mental condition and behavior. In another book, he says, even the most difficult and out of control children can be helped by informed adults' intervention without resort to drugs. And we have to be those adults, informed adults. We need to understand how this works. We need to be a part of the solution if we are coming like Christ to serve one another. In page 93, 94 of one of his books, he says, starting with the first dose, almost any psychiatric drug can worsen the symptoms commonly thought of as ADHD. He says, people who persistently use psychiatric drugs legally or illegally for several months or more are likely to become forgetful, overlook details, lose their focus on difficult tasks. Similarly, they may begin to experience disinhibition or loss of impulse control. The earliest signs are irritability and unexpected outbursts of anger, followed by eventually by dangerous expressions of violence. I have seen this pattern develop in dozens of clinical and legal cases involving both adults and children. So he's explaining that he has seen this many, many times. He's not the only doctors that are admitting this. Other doctors like Stephen Barrett, who criticizes Bregan in this Quack Watch, says Bregan, who states on page 17 that he never starts anyone on psychiatric medication, cites no sources for this sweeping condemnation of other than his own vaguely described observations, mostly with people who come to him because they are dissatisfied with their treatment. Yeah, they're dissatisfied with their treatment. All effective medication, he says, can produce adverse effects. However, competent prescribed will adjust dosages or change medication and produce maximum benefits with the maximum or no adverse effects. No, that's not the case. And I have dealt with many, many people myself that the doctors are not. I haven't seen anybody who's successfully prescribing these drugs without at least the ill effect of addiction, where you cannot get off the drug without going through serious withdrawal. It's just not the case. It is a drug. If you have to take it to stay normal, you have not dealt with the problem. You are artificially covering up the problem. A cure is a cure. An addiction is an addiction. And that's that simple. They are addicting you to the drug. They are not curing you. You have to keep going back to them for more and more of the drug, paying more and more money, and not solving the problem, but addicted to a drug. I can guarantee you, if you're hyperactive, I can find a drug that's legal that you can buy over the shelf that will nullify or decrease those problems. But they all have side effects. So they're just trying to manage it, but they're the managers of your body. God has made your body to manage itself. Fix the problem. Problem is within you. Now, there can be rare cases where individuals have become severely damaged, but I tell you that they can even be healed. But there has to be a change. If you don't want to make the change in your heart and in your mind, if you don't want to come to grips, no one's going to make you come to grips. And you probably need the drug, and we're better off with you drugged. Although drugging opens doors to all kinds of problems that we can go into on another show. But the fact is there's all kinds of other resources and things that you can do. And, you know, I could tell you a couple more stories that, I mean, the stories are rampant because the drugs are everywhere. But originally we started talking about neuroimaging studies demonstrating the effects of words it can have on the brain. If mentioning a single word can alter the structure of your mind and your thinking, stimulate and produce chemicals in your brain that actually changes your thinking, draws your attention uncontrollably in a direction, creates fear, creates anxiety, creates emotional stress. Just by the mere mention of the word, what happens when you take these pills? What happens when you take all the other substances that you're consuming? You're affecting the temple of the Holy Spirit in a way in which is not cast up, is not setting you free. It's creating more and more bondage. This is the nature. The nature of Christ sets you free. The nature of Satan brings you into bondage. Now you see what's really going on here. You're being brought into bondage. Addiction is bondage. And this is just one example. There's all sorts of examples. Addiction to religion, addiction to eschatologies, addiction to philosophies. And they're all carrying with them the drug of pride, humility, sacrifice, charity, forgiveness. These things set you free. They allow you to open up your heart to receive the Holy Spirit, to cleanse your temple. You have to have humility in order to see your error in the past and overcome the fact that I did wrong, I didn't do enough, I didn't do right, without judging yourself, realizing, admitting it, confessing it in your hearts and in your minds, and saying, I have left my Father's house. I was better off in my Father's house, and now I'm going to return to my Father's house and start the process back. Get educated. Get understanding. Share that understanding with others. Gather with others in the spirit of Christ, in the spirit of service. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.